What's up, Jeff Zimfer? Welcome to this episode of the Mortgage Marketing Radio Podcast. If you are a first-time listener, I'd like to know, you know what you can do? You can go over to our Facebook group, jump over to Facebook, and you type in Mortgage Marketing Radio. We've got a private group just for podcast listeners. Go check it out. Let me know you're a first-time listener. Jump in, say hi. Let me know what your number one business challenge is that you're working through, and we will help you through some content and additional resources to help you navigate this challenging market. Okay, so before we get into this week's special guest, actually, I wanted to ask you, do you struggle with what to post on social media? Are you trying to navigate and find your way, find your voice? Are you questioning whether social media is a place for you to generate business now or in the future? Well, stay tuned because my special guest is going to talk about why you may want to strongly consider having a presence and putting some time and focus into your social media. More on that in just a moment. Before I get there, let me share with you a win of the week coming from one of our My Agent Classes member, Liz Reese, up in California. Liz Reese posted in our Facebook group 5 days ago that I'm reading this. A couple of wins every week in our Friday mastermind and coaching calls. We do wins of the week. And she says she just set up a 5-week series of classes with the number one brokerage in Modesto and had another broker owner reach out to see if she could teach once a month to the broker's agents also. How did Liz get this? Did she cold call? No. Did she chase? No. Did she go to a networking meeting? No. Did she go to a cocktail happy hour? No. All she did was move her brand positioning from solicitor and vendor to partner and peer. How? By leading with educational content, both in person, through classes, virtually, on her social media platforms, and she is attracting and chasing, and she is rising above the noise and getting chosen amongst the sea of competitors that exist in her community in California to become the preeminent choice for mortgage professionals, for real estate agents in her backyard. This is what we do every single month with our members in the My Agent Classes community. Perhaps this is for you. Perhaps you want to stop chasing and start attracting. Want to learn more? Book a call with yours truly, me. You and I will sit on a Zoom. We'll spend 30 minutes getting to know each other, dig into your business, and find out if our platform is the fit for you. If you're tired of chasing, if you're tired of making cold calls, if you're tired of being the butt end of the jokes with real estate agents and you want to be more valuable, the way to do that is to become more valuable, helping agents solve problems, lead with education. Go to mortgagemarketing.pro, book a call with me today. Okay, this week, my special guest is somebody that I was looking forward to talking with for quite a while. And I'm just so impressed with what this young lady is doing. I don't know where to start. There's so much she's got going on, but let me open it up with this is that Jordan Nutter, the links are going to be in the show notes for her various places you can connect with her online, but you definitely need to go follow her on Instagram and TikTok. You need to go to her website. I will give you it right now on TikTok for her. It is A Nutter Home Loan. So A-N-U-T-T-E-R Home Loan. On Instagram, it is the same. Her website is probably the best one you want to go to right now anyways, is Mobile Mortgage Mom, mobilemortgagemom.com. And what you'll see there when you go to mobilemortgagemom.com is this giant RV. And Jordan has taken it upon herself to travel across the country in multiple states and cities. I mean, the list is crazy. You'll hear us talk about it on the show, but she's going around the country to make home ownership more accessible. And she's got this custom branded RV and she's going around the country, right? And helping people get educated on the road to home ownership. And you've got to hear her story. So not only is that amazing, but here's the other thing that's amazing is 78% of her business is consumer direct, primarily from TikTok. As a matter of fact, over 2 years that she's been measuring, her presence online, her content on social media has generated over 4,000 leads. 4,000 leads. 95% of that has come from TikTok. 1,300 of those leads have been qualified, meaning loan app, credit pulled, qualified home loan buyers. That's where she's getting the bulk of her business. And by the way, that's not running ads. That's organic content at no cost to her, other than the time to create the content and the learning curve that she's been on since being on those platforms for actually just a few years now. But that's how fast it can grow. So this is one of those most amazing in-depth conversations that I suggest you put on repeat, take notes, and go learn, go apply yourself just like Jordan has done in her business so that now she actually has the capability to travel around the country in an RV and still generate business. Maybe that's of interest to you. By the way, no one's expecting you to grab an RV and drive around the country. More importantly, what can you learn from her about the ability to generate business, not from your traditional resources, or add this additional pillar to your business of social media? That's where the puck is going. Do you have your eye on the puck? So without further ado, let's get into this week's show. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
I am honored and excited in a way that I haven't been in a while for a long time, because this is one of the most interesting conversations I get to have, which means it'll be interesting for the listeners. So yeah. Before we get into that, who are you? What do you do? What do you want to share with the listeners?
Sure. So Jordan Nutter, on socials, I'm a Nutter Home Loan, and I put out a ton of financial literacy, the funny, crazy stories when it comes to the mortgage world that we all know and not necessarily love. And I make funny little skits out of those to lighten it up a little bit. And currently I am in Dallas, Texas, which I don't live here, but I am doing a around the country, I should say, tour to bring financial literacy to communities, schools, nonprofits that are in need of it. That's what I'm currently embarking on. That's my mission right now for this year.
Okay. I'm making notes feverishly as we talk. I want to come back to that financial literacy mobile mom tour in a moment.
Yeah. But
you are also still an active originator, correct?
Correct. So I kind of juggle a few hats right now. Like, I am still full-time, like what pays the bills is originating loans. And then I also make content on social media, again, primarily about financial literacy, the mortgage process, all that good stuff. And I'm also currently living in a mobile home almost. It's an RV. So it's my home on wheels, and we have it wrapped, and I am traveling around the U.S. Trying to teach financial literacy to that next generation. So I'm kind of all over right now with what I'm doing.
So there's a ton in here. First of all, people can follow your journey across the country at mobilemortgagemom.com. I am there right now, and I am looking at this list of cities, and you are like a rock and roll band touring the country. Let me just paint this for the people who can't see it.
Okay.
Started in Ontario, California, February 12th. Phoenix, Arizona, 12th to the 16th. Tucson, 17th, 18th. Carlsbad, New Mexico, February 19th. Lubbock, Texas, February 20th. Dallas, Texas. I mean, how many cities are you going to?
So the full tour right now will be 50 cities, 32 states, and 12,000 miles. Roughly.
And
I think that's what we did all the numbers.
And you are not traveling alone. So no. Tell us about that.
So I have my wonderfully considerate, thoughtful, amazing, loving husband who decided to trust in me and take the next 6 months off to be the jack of all trades, really. He's my groupie right now.
Exactly.
We're talking about a band. Like, he's my ride or die groupie right now.
Road manager. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the tour manager, the videographer, the driver, the chef, like he's the mechanic, all the above. So he's the real MVP of this whole show. And then my daughter, who just turned one the other day. So she is with us. She loves it. It's like, she just, every place we go to, it's new. She's running around. She gets to go on the play sets and see the leaves. And it's like the best thing in the world for her.
Okay. While people are hearing this, and I know you've probably dealt with this question before, but the curiosity comes back to origination and how you're managing that while traveling.
Yeah. So it's, to be honest, it's definitely not the easiest thing. And it's interesting when you go into this grand idea and you're like, okay, like this is going to be great. We're going to do all these things and there's always going to be hiccups, but I don't think I fully fully understood how difficult it would be to try and work. So like currently I'm in the RV in my office, which right. we had to move from the kitchen, dining room, playroom. That is now that's only purpose to I am currently in the passenger seat of the RV because there's a pull out desk and this is where my office is. So it's not the easiest to be driving down the road, not that I'm driving, but moving, the baby's talking, I, you know, my husband's here, I'm trying to work, the internet's in, but it's out. And it's like, right. it's not easy. So we've realized there may be a couple stops we have to adjust to have a little bit longer because mm-hmm. doing what that first stint was really, really difficult to try to like play catch up. So
do you have a satellite internet?
I have, it's the T-Mobile.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like this box, the mm-hmm. hotspot thing. And it's been fantastic, except for like literally in the mountains of New Mexico in the snow. And then in the middle of nowhere, Texas, were the two stints where it was like, no, not right now. This isn't going to work.
Okay. So what in your wildest dreams prompted you to do this? What is behind all this?
It did not start this way, to be honest. So it started with, we had to temporarily move to California. That's where my husband's family is originally from. So we temporarily moved there and we said, okay, once this year's done, we will be moving back to Georgia where our home is. And in that process, I was like, oh, well, we should travel. We've done this drive probably 12 times across the country at this point, which is a whole different situation. But I was like, let's actually not just like overnight this drive. Let's enjoy it. We have the baby. We could see a few things. And then that rolled into, well, let's make it a longer trip and see some of my agents and maybe see some people along the way I've worked with, past clients, say hi. And then that rolled into, well, if we're doing that, we might as well see some of the other states. And then we have family. And I'm like, we just got to do the whole country. Like at this point, we might as well just do the whole country. So it then rolled into a 2-week trip, was a 1-month trip, then rolled into a 10-month trip. And then we dialed it back to 6 months. So that's where we ended up.
How did you pick the destinations besides you got family and stuff like that? Is there any other intention around that?
Yeah, so I carry personally 7 states that I'm licensed in. So California, Texas is a big one for me, Georgia, because that's where my home is, Florida, Tennessee, Indiana, Illinois. So those I was like, we absolutely have to hit. Then there were a few that were like, okay, we have family in. And then there were a few other ones where we have coworkers that are in that really wanted to try to put something together. So like I have a great coworker who runs a division, fantastic division up in Columbus, Ohio. So I was like, okay, we're already going to be in the Midwest. We might as well do that. And then we have, even though I'm licensed in Florida, we have somebody else in Tampa. So there's some Alabama. I have somebody in, I'm interviewing. So there's a lot of people that were like, hey, we would love to try to do something with you. I don't know what yet, but we would love to like meet you or put something together. So I was like, okay, add it to the list. Like we'll figure it out as we move along.
Yeah. It just popped in my head that Johnny Cash song, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like, I've been to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Alabama.
And it's like,
you gotta come up.
I always think every time we pull out, I'm like on the road again.
Right. Yep. I bet
you're singing. On the road again. Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay. So 7 states. I want to back up to you before you're doing this road trip. You're licensed in 7 states. What is your source of business in those states that you're not physically present in?
Social media.
Okay.
Social media. Realistically, that's where it is. I mean, I have a wonderful community that comes to me and they generally don't have an agent.
And we're going to unpack that because this goes to another comment I saw you say earlier, which is 80% of your business comes from social media.
Mm-hmm.
Can you unpack that and explain that if that is, because there's all versions of that, right? There's the consumer direct thing. There's the agents that I have who know me and follow me and they send me business via social media. Can you kind of down a little bit?
Sure. So of the 80% of my business that comes from social media, 78% of that is consumer.
Okay.
There's only 2%. And it's interesting because we have different people on our team that it's the complete opposite.
Right.
So for me personally, I would say about 78% of it comes directly from the consumer, following along, reaching out for however long they've been with me and have trusted me for however, let's say months, years, and say, okay, we are finally ready, or we feel like we're at least ready to have a conversation with you. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to be first time home buyers or relocating. They don't have an agent. They need help. And then that's where I can get them in contact with an agent that I've worked with, that I know and trust. We build that relationship even more, and it's fantastic. There are agents that follow me that do ask for my help. Mm-hmm. But they are not, that's okay. my content is primarily consumer based. So that's really where my bread and butter is.
And we're going to link, of course, to your various social profiles in the show notes, but is there, correct me if I'm wrong, your two dominant platforms are TikTok and Instagram?
Correct.
Is there one that is clearly a winner of that 78%?
TikTok, for TikTok. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say I probably, if you split the two up, because I mean, I get a little bit from Facebook, a little bit from YouTube. It's not very much, but I would say in the last, I've been like really, really tracking it for the last, we're coming almost into April. So for almost 2 years, out of the last 2 years, I've brought in probably about 4,000 leads. And mm-hmm. out of those 4,000 leads, 95% of them are going to come from TikTok.
Okay. Why do you think it's primarily TikTok for you?
So I just have a much larger following from there. My content tends to do the storytelling, the reenactment phone calls, those tend to do much, much better on TikTok. And that's where the conversations start going. My content doesn't do bad by any means, but it is a much slower process on mm-hmm. Instagram than it is for TikTok. So I just get in front of more faces, and I've also had it and like really pushed longer on that one.
Okay.
So I've had a longer standing community as well.
So then it sounds like, would you say, or is it fair to say that your primary focus has been TikTok?
So yes, primarily I make most of my content gets made on TikTok, and then it gets repurposed into the right. Instagram, Facebook world. The tough thing though, what I've realized, all of the platforms want to compete with each other, right? So you get YouTube that now made shorts because they want to get with TikTok, and TikTok then push their videos. You can make 10-minute videos because they're trying to compete with YouTube. Great, fine. All that's great. But what happens is, for me, I've always been a long form content creator. So for those of you watching or listening, that's generally 60 seconds or longer. I've never really been like a trend girl, or you'll get one every so often from me, but I like to speak to you. Let's educate you, get as much information in front of you as possible. So it's hard because you look at, Instagram, Facebook, they all have, it's considered shorter form. So they maybe max out at 60 seconds, sometimes 90 seconds, depending on the platform, which is hard for me because I tend to do much longer than that. So it's one of those, I like to try to repurpose as much as I can, but I haven't found enough time to make separate content for those platforms to fit within those niche timeframes.
Yeah. I also wonder if your quote success on TikTok is also because not to get super technical, but this is my layman's interpretation, how the algorithm functions differently in terms of content discovery on TikTok. And that's kind of the primary driver for it. And maybe because of that, you are showing up more often in more people's feeds because it's content discovery based versus like who you follow and friends like you, perhaps
right.
Larger degree on Instagram. I don't know if you've got any.
I also know that the content that I make that tends to be in a shorter format to fit in one video on Instagram or Facebook is not as shareable. as my content on TikTok, because on TikTok, I can make a 4-minute video that's shareable because it's a great story. But that 4-minute video has to be broken up into 4 separate videos on Instagram. And then it doesn't, where it breaks and stuff, it's not going to be shareable. And then it's in 4 separate parts, and not everybody loves that. So
I read the other day that Instagram is testing 10 minutes. Maybe they'll roll that out.
I would really love if they could roll that out, because it would make my life a lot easier.
I'll bet. And potentially reach more people.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go back to the 4,000 leads over 2 years for a moment. I would like people to understand, share your experience of what that looks like in the real world. You kind of hinted at it a little bit, however long people have been following you, months, years, whatever. But can you, just for those that think there's an easy button on social of like, oh my God, I want to go all in on social, I'm going to generate these crazy leads, and people like, what does the real life cycle look like in your experience?
So I will bring it back to when I first started, because I did not have the systems that I had in place, and I don't know of a company that does. So I hate to say this, but it's somewhat of an unfair advantage of what we have because of how much we've built out. So we go back to like what I had prior to my company.
Got it.
Then we look
your company,
at,
by the way, just so you know, we're allowed to say your company.
Okay. So with NFM Lending, I always get like cautious. I'm always like, okay, can I plug them? Can I not? Like,
we love what you guys are doing over there.
I'm always cautious. So before I came to NFM, I actually, and I say this all the time, and Greg, who you know, always laughs about this, but I copied what NFM had in a much, much smaller like version of it. Like the systems that we have now, yes, have been upgraded since a few years ago, but they were still insane for the industry. So at the time, it looks like a simple, we call in our system, the blue form. So literally you go on the website and it says name, phone number, purchase refi, what state, and like notes. And that's it. It's very simple, not a full application. And I was like, I can build this, but I have no idea how I'm going to do this. So I went on Google and I made like a Google sheet, a Google form. And it literally was my website link in my bio, and people would click on it and they would fill it out, and I would get an email, and it'd be like, John Smith is looking to purchase in Indiana in the next 6 months, and here's his notes. And I'm like, cool, I got this. And that was great. But then what I realized is if I had a video that went off and I would get like 10 of these emails in a day, and I'm like, wait, but I'm not licensed. I'm not licensed in these states. Mm-hmm. And the company, which I won't say, was not very good at all. And so it was difficult because I had to try to struggle with like, who do I find to help these people? So I would say, make sure you have at least something in place, so that you, one, don't get inundated if something blows up on a video. Mm-hmm. But two, you have the support system, at least with people that you've interviewed, whether you're a real estate agent and you're like, okay, I have all my bases covered, or I'm a loan officer and the company I work for is licensed across the country, and I know that Johnny is going to be my guy for these 5 states and Susie is going to be my girl for these. Like, I do think, just to be safe, so you don't stress out if a video goes viral and you get inundated, that you have somewhat of a conversation with people, so you know if their work ethic is similar to yours. So if you do have to refer them over, you're not worried about it turning around and biting you in the butt that they went with a bad loan officer.
Yeah. So you're saying have a loan officer internally at the same company that you can refer those deals to, and you guys work something out in terms of a contract, something.
Yeah. Cause what, I mean, you know, in the mortgage world, you can't make any kind of referrals outside of your company, but they can internally. So I would recommend talking to like your branch manager, division, somebody to see.
So if you, what about today? Just let's keep talking NFM for a second, just because I'm curious. Is if you generate opportunities outside of your 7 states you're licensed in, does that, what's the internal process with that?
Sure. So essentially what happens is they will fill out what we still call the blue form. And when they fill that out, depending on where it falls, if they're an A, B, or C, they will either get directly sent to, let's say, me, if I was the one who drew in the lead, they'll get directly to me. If it's a B or C, we may have to nurture them. So then they go to what we call a call center, which is literally a couple people that we have that are licensed, or sorry, that are not licensed, but they can get the basic of like, do we have any funds? Can we just get a little bit more? Not enough to make an application, but enough to like help the loan officer get a somewhat warm lead going. Yeah. So then we'll nurture them if we have to, get a little bit more information. And then they go in our round robin. And so the round robin is the loan officers. And that consists of what we call our content creators, which is, I'm one of them, along with, we have probably 12 at this point that create content. They're the face, they right. generate the leads. And then we have our back-end loan officers. And those are the people that we've worked with for years. We have a team, they carry their license. We split them up across the country of where they carry their licenses, and they don't create content. They may generate a little bit of their own with their agents, fine, but like they really rely on us to go ahead and bring in that business for them. So it's a round robin. So whoever's the lead, whatever state, it'll get just divvied out.
Okay. Let me go back to the 4,000 leads over the 2 years. I want to, to what degree can you articulate, maybe you know the number, I don't know. Cause that, I mean, the straight up thing I was going to ask is like, hey, what does the conversion look like on those? I don't know if that's a fair question, but you get where I'm going on that?
Yeah. So generally, like,
There's there are all different types of leads, and, you know, we get it. That's volume, right? That's quantity over quality, let's say.
Right. So I have, it's about 3,900. So I have a 33.33% conversion rate. So that equates to just shy of 1,300 leads that were qualified enough to be assigned to a loan officer.
Got it. Yeah. And then there's the various life cycle on them based on different criteria, et cetera.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of them, they're qualified enough to have a conversation with us as a loan officer, maybe asset-wise, but their credit's not good, so we have to help them with their credit. That can take, 90 days, 6 months, a year. But yes.
But the ones that are A, do those go right to you?
The A's will get directly assigned. Mm-hmm. Now, currently, because I'm on this trip, I will sometimes be like, okay, just give me one a week max, because I don't want to not be able to talk to enough people. So, but yes, they generally get assigned directly to us.
I don't know if you said at the beginning, but how long have you been an originator?
October of 19. So we're at 4.5 years.
And when you first started, did you like jump in on social media right away?
Mm-mm. So when I first started, I moved from California to Georgia, because that's where my first company was headquartered. And because the South is very protective, they want only local people, understandable. I had changed my number. I had to beg people to give me the borrowers nobody wanted to work with. So I took all of the bad credit scores, asset kind of borrowers. And I started to learn so much about the industry and realized that there was so much information that needed to be put out there, because just a substantial amount, whether they were first-time homebuyers or not, just information that was either wrong or they didn't understand. And it was super frustrating in the fact that I wasn't mad at the borrowers. I was mad at our education system that we didn't have. This should be information. Like, I should know how to do trigonometry. I should know how to balance a checkbook or use a credit card properly and how to pay it off at the time that it's supposed to. Like, all of these little things that when you know them, you're like, how did I not know that? But it's just insane to me. So I did not start. But because I kept seeing this reoccurring issue, I was like, I need to put some information out there, because I don't feel like the content at the time was circa COVID. So it's like everyone was trying to be fun and dancing, which is understandable because it was a very difficult time for a lot of people. But I was like, I need to put education out there, because we are still, there's so many people trying to purchase. So yeah, I started making content, and it was not good at first, but I definitely did a lot of practicing. And eventually it got better.
Yeah, it definitely has. You know, people often say with like social media, eventually, or the goal is to find your voice, right? Which is a little bit of like your style, your content. And if I'm correct, you've said this during our conversation, you've focused on education. Did you discover that after some trial and error? Or did you kind of like, it sounds like you might have leaned into that right from the get-go.
I leaned into it from the beginning, because really I had so many clients, mind you, that were credit challenged and didn't have a ton of assets. And most of them were first-time home buyers. So that really prompted the social media content, because that was what I was experiencing. Because none of the investors wanted to work with this brand new loan officer, like the fantastic, I wasn't getting the leads that had fantastic credit scores and all that great. Yeah. They were giving those to their seasoned loan officers. So that's all I was working with. And I was like, we need more information out there. We need better information and more of it in a way that feels easy for the consumer to absorb. So I really leaned into giving that information, but it was trial and error of like, how am I presenting it? Like, I don't really know how I'm going to do this. So it did take a little bit.
So how often, we've got TikTok and Instagram, two different approaches in terms of posting frequency, et cetera. How often are you posting on Instagram roughly?
Yes. I mean, so Instagram is every day. So that's like Instagram, I still do it more like aesthetically pleasing kind of content. So yes, I do my videos, but my videos have like a thumbnail on them. Right. And so I'll do a video, and then the next day is a standalone video, standalone. So it looks like a grid when you go on there. If you scroll through, it's a whole grid. Whereas TikTok, they all have the title at the top. Mm-hmm. Which is always the same. I try to put it in the same text. So that's always going to be the same. And I categorize them. I put them in their different folders, but that's just a free for all. Like there's no rhyme or reason as to why I'm posting an article today and a reenactment call tomorrow. But that I generally will post. I will always post Monday through Friday. And depending on how much I film, if I have enough to go into Saturday and Sunday, I will do what I can to post on those days as well.
Are you just doing in the moment? Are you pre-recording, batching?
Oh gosh, no, I have to batch.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause I mean, if content creating was my full-time job, then I could create content every day, but I just don't have that luxury right now. So I do have to batch my content. I would say at least once a week, I bat between like filming, editing, all that stuff is probably, I spend anywhere between 2 to 4 hours doing that.
But very, take this the right way. Simple editing, if you will.
Yeah.
Are you editing on your mobile phone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do everything. It's either within TikTok or it's within CapCut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So I don't, and even on CapCut, I know they have the fancy edits you can do, zooming in and adding extra text and all of that. But for me, I've always done like the simple, like just clean. I'm trying to get the information out there. I try to be as authentic as possible in my videos. But yes, there is the aspect of, you know, does it make sense to do a more high quality video?
This is what's, you know, relevant to talk about is I'm wrapping up this presentation I'm doing, which is the top five social trends of 2024. And one of those is overproduced video is out and authenticity is in. And that's kind of the game TikTok's been playing since the get-go. You
know what I mean? 100%.
Yeah. Like it's just you real raw, just show up, have something useful and relevant to say, some decent editing. You're entertaining. You're not like a comedian, but you're engaging, you're entertaining, you have a style. By the way, how long did that take to develop? Because now you're doing like these, what's the thing you said earlier, the phone skit?
Yeah, so that was actually, I think that would have been like my But within my first 5 to 10 videos, I made a skit. Now it's slightly different now, because at the time I had my phone or my AirPod in and you could only hear me. So you couldn't hear the borrower. And I was like, oh, really? And it was not live. This was like a total reenactment.
Right.
And people thought I was really on the phone, which was amazing. I was like, okay, thanks guys. You're making me feel good right now. But right. I made that video, the first one, because I had just gotten off the phone on a Saturday. I was called in the middle of the day randomly, which, mind you, I get it. We have to work on the weekends. We're on call all the time. Sure. But they were like, we need this right now. It has to be done, blah, blah, blah. And they made collectively between the two borrowers, made $20 an hour and wanted to buy a $1 million home.
Oh, boy.
And I was the one who was in the wrong. I was not correct. Like, I was not correct that when I pulled their credit, I told them the wrong information, that what I was seeing was not true. The fact that I couldn't qualify them, I was wrong. I should have been able to qualify them. And so because of that, they were going to their bank, and their bank, because they had been customers with them for a very long time, was going to approve them for the $1 million home. And I couldn't get them to understand that the money that they were making every month wouldn't cover the taxes and the insurance and the HOA dues, let alone the loan on the home. I couldn't even get them to cover that portion. And
Is that a real scenario?
That was a real scenario, but I changed. That was the first one I did. And I was so upset when that happened, because I was like, you like bombarded me. I talked to you the night before. You said, we need to talk today. It was on the weekend. We took up like 2 hours of my Saturday, and then you get mad at me. And so the following Monday, I was like, no, I'm making a video. And I made it, and I was like, left it alone. And I look back at it, I'm like, that's not right. That can't be right. And then like, I refresh it, and I was like, wait, it's still going. This is a situation. And within 24 hours, I had 30,000 followers and 1 million views. And I was crying. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's happening right now. What is going on? And people were, it was insane. They were like, why would you record your phone call? This isn't legal. And I'm like, wait, I was reenacting it. This isn't even real. And so I realized I had something, and I was like, okay, I got to figure out how to keep going with this. I don't know, but we got to figure it out. So yeah, that was probably within my first 10 videos.
Is that a staple of your content now? That's, you know, various
100%. That is the reason why I carry as that really pushes. If I make like last week, I did a series, on Super Bowl bets between this couple. And that probably gained me 1,000 followers that week. So fun. When I do the skits, they drive a lot of traction to my profile, which is great.
Yeah.
But the stuff, and those tend to do the most when it comes to views, but I wouldn't say those are the ones that draw in the clients. The ones that draw in the clients are the educational, which these are educational to an extent, but the more entertaining.
Well, you're taking a you know, somewhat boring topic and making it entertaining or engaging at the least. And it's funny, it's really challenging whenever, and I'm sure you've faced this too, and people asking you questions about creating content and, you know, the narrative that comes up of like, well, I'm not funny. Well, I'm not entertaining. Well, I'm not good on camera. Like all the things. I don't know. Did you struggle with any of that?
Yeah. So funny enough, because people are like, well, why did you start TikTok? And I said, because nobody knew me on TikTok. So if I messed up for like 20 people that were not even real people, probably. So if I completely just like fell on my face and it was horrible, only 20 people saw it, and it's fine. It's not a big deal. My mom and my mom supports me all the time, so that doesn't matter. But like my high school friends and like those people, I don't have to worry about them because they didn't know that I was on TikTok. So I was like, this is where I'm going to go.
Nothing to lose.
And it was funny because my assistant, her daughter was like 9 at the time, and I didn't even know how to like put captions on there. I was like, you see, look, I was like, look at this video. You see, look, okay, you see the captions up? Now it went away. How does she do that? She's like, you press this button, you type what you want, and then you press this button. And I'm like, oh, this is magical. So I was really,
well,
I was very hesitant.
Let's not to sound cheesy. My kids make me fun of what I say. Let's double click on that for a minute, because the key takeaway from what you just described is that you are willing to learn.
Oh, 100%.
You know, you didn't throw it out and say, it's too difficult, pain in the ass, whatever, you know, and you're younger, you know, but some people, the average LO is what, 57 years old, but like, these are new skills we need to learn in the current market if we want to evolve. I think that's the credit to you. As I scroll through the older history of your TikTok, you can definitely see how it's evolved, you know, in terms of the content, the style, the caption styles you're using. But to your point, you just said there a moment ago, you started out not even knowing how to put a damn caption on there.
Correct. And here's the thing. I look at it as, and whether like earlier today, I was teaching a class, or when I get on calls with people and I'm like, okay, do you have kids? Most of the time they're like, yes, I do. I'm like, okay, great. If your kid came home and they wanted to learn a bike, but they were scared how to learn how to ride a bike, but they were scared, are you going to be like, okay, well, that's fine. Let's not give up. Like, let's not even try.
Right.
I know you want it, but if you don't, like, you're worried or you're scared, there's really no point. Like, no, you're not going to do that. Right. You're going to be like, well, let's talk about this. Like, I know it's scary. Let's get on. Let's at least try. If it doesn't work, let's try again. So why is it okay? And is it because they're younger? They don't know. So it feels new. And it's like, why is it okay for us to be so forgiving and like loving and nurturing in that aspect, but when it comes to like ourselves, we are not that way? You know, if yeah. My, like, I don't know, let's say my husband was like, okay, I want to go learn how to race cars. He does that. But let's say he didn't know how to do it. And I'd be like, okay, well, it feels a little scary. Like, I'm all for it. I'm going to support you. But like, okay, are you good? And he's like, well, you know what? Actually, I'm just too worried about, like, we're our own worst critic. I get that. But why are we so much harder on ourselves, on things that we want to do, but are too scared to do or try? But we will fully support the people that we love when we should be loving ourselves the most out of everyone, right?
I'm going to go back to the answer to that, if I can attempt. Sure. What Gary Vee say a number of times is fear of judgment. Like
but you who are we fearing the judgment from?
Well, I know you said earlier, like, you didn't know anybody on TikTok because that's cool, but it's the perception that if I look like shit, you know, oh my God, I'm not willing to look bad. You know what I mean? That's the
and I say this as if I am guilty of it. Obviously, I just said this, but I always now that I'm like past that part, I'm like, who was I afraid of judging me? Like, I was afraid of the high school girl that I grew up with. Like, I was afraid of John that I've never met, who's going to make fun of me. Like, I'm worried about people judging me that are doing less than me, are afraid to do what it is that I'm doing. Like, those are the people judging you. They're jealous of you. They're afraid. They're scared. Like,
and people
above you.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody were to start a podcast and they came to you and were like, I'm really worried. Like, I just don't know. I think this is a bad idea. Are you going to be like, you know what? You're right. This is a bad idea. You probably shouldn't even, I don't even know why you would start it.
Right. No.
Like,
you know, it's funny. Nobody's ever put that in the context of a podcast for me. Because I can relate to the whole judgment thing, and I'm not thinking about people I don't know. I'm thinking about like family, friends, whatever, you know, the critique box you get put in.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's funny. You just opened up a new level of courage for me on social media.
I love that
in the context of the podcast. Cause I would say like, yeah, cause I'm going back 7 years ago when I started this thing, right? 320 episodes. And I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, dude.
You're 320 episodes in.
Yeah.
If you were to say, if you were to go back to episode one, as opposed to 320, do they look the same?
No, of course not.
Exactly.
Right.
But if you could go back to you 320 episodes ago and be like, listen,
scared.
Look at where we are.
Right.
Like, it's okay. I know you're scared, but like, look at where we are. Look how much we've accomplished. Look at all the people we've seen, all the people we've interviewed, like the amazing experiences. Like, I know it's really scary and that's natural, but I need you to like, trust me.
That's cool.
Like, I wish that we could have this pep talk with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, Can I curse on here? Not a bad, like,
I already
not a bad,
did
bad
earlier.
one.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Keep it
Like,
real.
we need to get our head out of our ass at that point.
Right.
Like, we do. And we're our own worst critic. I understand that. It's this huge fear. But at the end of the day, it's just, we're in our own heads.
Well, also let's kind of put a cherry on top on this particular section right here on this one. Was your intention in putting content out there to be helpful rather than to try and get a sale?
Oh, 100%. Because when I did at the beginning of my career, I was like, okay, I need to learn how to read a credit report. I need to, like, how do you properly pay the credit? What scores? All of these things. And I'm like, great. I can tell my borrower, Johnny, great, this is it. But that's one person. And not that that one person isn't important, because they truly are. But if that same 5 minutes it takes me to tell Johnny, I can make a video and potentially five people see it, or 50 or 500, because at the time I had nobody following me. I think that's a better utilization of my time, to where, yes, I still help Johnny out, but maybe I help out all of these other people that potentially see it, that didn't think they needed that information because they never knew how important it was. So that was always the goal, was just, if I can help somebody, great. And I didn't even have, like, a website. Like, I didn't have anything up there.
I know Google
So
Form. That
it
was
was
awesome.
interesting.
I love that because it's like you don't need to be super sophisticated. Damn Google Form, man. If people are connecting with you, they're gonna go fill out the thing, right? But I want to just we'll close out on the whole thing. Why I asked you that question is because I can sense that about you and looking at your content. And I think that's where people mess up is they see social media as another advertising platform in terms of posting content, right? And as a way to like, oh, I'm gonna get a sale if I do this. And I think the intent is backwards. The intent for you was to help and to serve because you were pissed off at the lack of education, et cetera. And so whatever that passion or thing is for you listening as an originator or real estate agent, like I think that's what you got to show up with is like, where do you really love to serve people and show up there, you know?
Right. Like, I tell people, and I'm really at fault at this. Like, I never ask. It's very rare that you will ever see me at the end be like, well, if you need anything, reach out to me. Or if you're looking, I do it every so often, but it's a very rare occurrence, because I never look at when I'm creating. I just want to do good, and good will come back in return, some way, shape, or form. But for me, I think of, like, okay, I want you to consider, you own your home. You're on your couch, sitting there chilling out. You get a knock at the door and you're like, who is this? And you walk up, and or you look at your Ring doorbell and you're like, oh, this is a solicitor. They're solar, whatever. I don't care what it is. They're trying to sell you something. And you're like, I don't want to talk to them because they're trying to sell me something. So that is the automatic response, I feel like, in most people's cases. They don't want to open the door because they don't want to be sold. So why would we want to open our phone in our, like, free downtime? The kids are away, or I'm off of work, or whatever, I'm on lunch break. Why would I want to open my phone up and be like, okay, so today I'm going to sell you on a mortgage, and this is why, like, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be sold. So I think, one, you have to consider that, because if you don't like to be sold, why would you try to sell somebody? But two, like I was saying, if you put good into this world, I do strongly believe that good will come back to you. And I try to do my best with really building a community and trying to build that trust, to where I don't necessarily, and this isn't to sound, like, cocky or anything, but I don't have to ask for business. I probably should, because I would probably do a lot more, but I just don't, because it's, one,
Style.
it's not in my nature, but two, I don't feel like I have to. Like, I'm putting this out there. If they really like me enough to watch this full video and they trust me, they're just gonna call me, text, email, whatever. They're gonna reach out to me. So I shouldn't have to ask for it. But there is a part that, if you're putting value, you could always add it at the end. You just got to be very
Well,
neutral
I mean,
with it.
you've heard it said before. You don't need to say link in bio. They know how to find you.
Right.
you know, but I get what you're saying. Okay, cool. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. This has been fantastic. I want to circle back to a couple other key points here.
Sure.
You're in Texas. You were teaching a class earlier today. It's off the website now because it's a few hours ago that you did this. I appreciate you making time. What did you teach today?
Yeah, so today was social media for agents and loan officers. So the main purpose of this trip is to bring financial literacy to the communities in need. So that's why, like, Saturday, I worked with a high school. I did an event with them. It was wonderful. But I'm like, well, if I'm here, I'm not able to do an event every single day and all the time. So if I can help agents, loan officers, help build their career and help bring more financial literacy to consumers, I'm going to do that if I can. So I've had different title companies reach out, hey, we have some great agents we work with. They would love to have you come in. So that was the basis of today, as I spoke on how to be genuine, authentic self on social media and put true education pieces out there and making sure that you can reach the consumer and be that specialist in your area.
And it was real estate agents and loan officers attended the class.
Yep.
Are you licensed in Texas?
I am.
Do you expect to get business out of that?
So one of those things where I should ask for, you know, I should ask more. I do have the conversations of, like, you know, what brokerage are you with? What's going on? Do you need anything? Can I answer any questions? But I'm not handing out, like, they all came, they know who I am. So I'm not handing out business cards and trying to be like, let me be that preferred lender for you. But generally, when I meet somebody in person, when it comes to a real estate agent, they tend to follow up with me afterwards, whether it's, hey, can I ask you a question? Or maybe, you know, if you have a borrower or something, but it's not one of those things where I, again, go out of my way to hand
out. You attract, you don't chase.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's sweet. Okay. All right. So back to your tour. Let's see. Tomorrow you're leaving Texas. People can just track you.
Dallas. We're leaving Dallas.
Right.
Go to Austin. And then we hit Houston. We were supposed to go to New Orleans after, but something got adjusted. So we're going to just, it's too far south. We're going to make a slight adjustment, but, I always forget. I don't know if it's Mobile or Mobile. I think it's Mobile, Alabama. I was like, Aaron's going to watch this. Who's the guy I'm going to see? One of my coworkers. He's going to be like, really, Jordan? That's every time this still happens. But yeah, we spent a good amount of time in Florida, which I'm excited about. We have a few weeks in Atlanta, Georgia, and the surrounding areas.
And you're documenting this for video content as well, right?
Correct. So so I still have another home loan. That's where all my content really goes. I made a backup secondary account, which is Mobile Mortgage Mom. And that has more of, like, there's not a ton on there right now, but, like, okay, if we're going to edit some behind the scenes videos, anything like that, it goes on there. If we do, like, family stuff or hikes or stuff on the road, that tends to go. I really only dabble on TikTok and Instagram with those two as well.
Hmm. Interesting. So what have you thought about the end of the road, so to speak, pun intended? Like, and when you get to the end of your journey, what's next besides a break and maybe a friggin' week at a spa or something?
Right. So we will finish in California. And then the goal is to move back to Georgia. So that'll be a very, like, quick, we're going to, like, just go back. We'll probably stay in this and we'll sell this when we get to Georgia, but we will just go straight back to Georgia pretty much. Shortly after we arrive back in California. But the goal is to really build these relationships across the country while I'm on this tour, whether that's with the nonprofits, it's with borrowers, it's with high schools, to try to get more of the First Home IQ that I'm partnered up with, you know, their curriculum into the schools. It's the agents I've made relationships with. So it's really, at the end of it, it's to have a more, just a better network. Not that there's anything wrong with like my network right now, but I always want to try to build on it and be better. So the goal would be at the end of this to have just a bigger, more structured network of people that I was able to work with.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're taking the online offline, you know, and integrating the two, because you've got all this awareness and engagement and probably, you know, relationships and connections online in these various cities you're going to, and you're going to be probably connecting with people that you've only met or engaged with online.
Yeah. And that was another like, okay, great. I've worked with you. I've done X amount of deals, but I've never met you. So like, can we meet in person? This would be lovely if we could. So I definitely am excited to meet some of these agents and borrowers that I haven't been able to meet in person.
That is really cool. And once again, that's a sharp looking RV. So everybody who's listening needs to go to the links in the show notes and go check Mobile Mortgage Mom and the other links. Go follow her on TikTok, Instagram, and observe. I would say learn, like watch what you're doing and see where you can be informed and inspired to borrow some ideas and create your own version of the content that you're inspired to create. Is that fair?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I had the question the other day. I was being interviewed and he's like, well, the people that are listening that are loan officers or real estate agents, like, not everybody could just get in an RV and travel around the country. And I'm like, no, 100%. Like, definitely that's not doable for everybody, but that's not what they need to do. It's right. One of those things like being in front of and communicating and being with your community. So how can I be more involved? And that's really the basis of this. Like, how can I be better with my community? Is it a nonprofit? Is it the high school? Is it the Boys and Girls Club? Like, you know, as much as I love to be on social media, and I think that that's a wonderful, it has completely changed my life. There is still the aspect of building relationships in person. And I think that is very, very important, especially if you specialize in a particular town or community or city. Like, it is very important to be a part of that community because that's where you live and work and want to do business. So I hope that whoever's watching and listening, if they are inspired by it, they take it and cater it more to what works for them in their specific area that they specialize in.
Well, it's like we've said kind of repeatedly throughout the theme here, if you show up to serve, you really can't lose.
Right.
You know? So, well, look, I know you're busy and you've got things to take care of. And I went a little bit longer than expected, but that's because this conversation was awesome. So Jordan, thanks a lot. Once again, listeners, the links are in the show notes. I appreciate you being here, Jordan.
Yeah, I appreciate your time as well. And I'm excited. This has been a wonderful conversation. So thank you again.
I feel the same. So, hey, listeners, if you like this episode, please leave us a review if you are so inclined to do so. And if you think somebody else would benefit from listening to it, share it. And I appreciate you. We'll see you on the next one. Bye for now. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Hey, got a question for you. Are you struggling to get engagement and referrals from real estate agents and feeling like you're constantly fighting for business in a crowded market? What if I told you there's a way to attract agents to provide unique value that helps them grow their business and generate referrals on demand, helping you become the dominant loan officer in your local market? Look, I was an originator for over 10 years. I understand the frustration of feeling like you're just another player in a sea of competitors, and you're struggling to stand out and get noticed by the agents that you want to attract and engage with. What if I told you there's a way to flip the script and position yourself as the go-to lender in your market, attracting agents, not chasing, not paying for leads, not cold calling, but actually generating referrals on demand? And the best part, you don't have to ever make a cold call or chase leads again. You don't have to work with weenie head agents if you don't want to. This is what we help originators do at the My Agent Classes membership. What do you get? You get exclusive access to our private community of like-minded loan officers where you can network, share best practices, get ongoing support to grow your business, and you get a turnkey platform that helps you build your personal brand that moves you from solicitor and vendor to partner and peer you attract agents, you increase conversations, and you increase your referrals, all without chasing, without begging, playing the game, or paying for leads. You just by doing what you love to do, which is help other people solve problems. So how do you learn more? Go to mortgagemarketing.pro. Book a call with me and I'll take you through the library of done-for-you agent classes that you can use to just plug and play and follow our proven system of train the trainer. You don't have to be the subject matter expert. Think of yourself like the nightly news reporters just sharing the news. You also get access to our marketing automation platform that will attract, engage, and convert agents to referral partners for you. Scripts, checklists, downloads, automated email, SMS, text messages, done-for-you landing pages, and more. You also get our market maker content, which is the social media images to help you promote your class online. And again, every Friday, our mortgage marketing mastermind call, you get access to top LOs, speakers, coaches, connect and collaborate with what's working right now in today's market to help you grow your business. So you don't have to struggle and try and figure it out all on your own. Don't miss the opportunity to learn more about what's helping so many originators succeed in becoming the go-to lender in your local market. Book a call with me now, mortgagemarketing.pro. We'll see you on the other side.